20, Revelation chapter 20. I've actually got an outline for you tonight. Let's see if I can get this pulled up here. Revelation chapter 20. All right. We are about three sermons away from finishing our teaching on the end times and a biblical view of the end times. And we looked at the return of King Jesus the last time we spoke. But this week I'd like us to understand this idea of the millennial reign of Christ. If you go to Revelation chapter 20, six times in Revelation chapter 20 from verses 2 to 7, a 1,000-year period of time is mentioned. In chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." This is Revelation 20, verse 1. "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with them 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired," verse 7, "Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. They went upon the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever." You see here the teaching of the millennium, that 1,000-year reign or period of time where Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Himself will rule the earth. He's going to usher in a time of peace, prosperity, righteousness, like the world has never seen before. A man is trying to do that on their own. They'll never succeed. But Jesus will. And there are many, unfortunately, there are many who don't believe in this 1,000-year reign of Christ. They see it as symbolic. They read chapter 20 and they say, well, it actually means something different. But I'll tell you, there's more written about this time than any other event in the realm of prophecy. And the Bible here, I believe, is teaching us in the literal sense. One rule of interpretation, just for your own help or your own edification, is this. When the literal sense of the Bible makes common sense, seek no other sense. Is this plausible? Could this happen? Certainly. It makes sense as it's written. I don't believe in any way it is symbolic. I believe, and as we take the Bible literally, that there will be a 1,000-year period of time where the Lord Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I'm not going to cover all the details about the millennium tonight. In fact, it's going to seem like I'm just going to skim over them. But I want to call out a few specific areas that will give us a greater insight or better insight into what's going to take place during this marvelous time. I want us to refresh our memory tonight. There is a series of events that must happen before the millennial reign. As I've written up here, you first have the rapture, and that is the next event that you and I are waiting for. It could happen tonight. It is imminent. There's nothing to keep it back. But only God knows the time. Only He is aware of the timing of that glorious event where all believers, all the saved are raptured, are taken to heaven to be forever with the Lord. Secondly, after the rapture, this will begin the 7-year period known as the tribulation period. The tribulation period is 2 3.5-year periods of time in which God's wrath, the whole 7 years is a time of God's wrath and judgment. Now, certainly the last 3.5 years are a greater time of God's wrath, but there is still the outpouring of God's wrath even in the beginning of the tribulation. This is a time where you'll see the rise of the Antichrist and the false prophet. But during the tribulation, and while we're while the earth is going through that, in heaven there will be the judgment seat of Christ. And this is where Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and will give an account for how we handled the talents, the blessings that God gave us for Him. Rewards will be given. I believe there will be some tears. But thank Jesus, He'll wipe away all tears. During that tribulation, we'll also have the marriage supper of the Lamb. That which was planned from the beginning, the bringing together of the people of God, the church of the living God, and the Lord Jesus Christ will take place during that time. And then lastly, during the at the end of the tribulation, you have the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And the second coming of the Lord Jesus, He defeats the armies of the Antichrist, and then He ushers in this 1,000-year reign. So what happens during this 1,000-year reign? Well, what I want to focus on tonight is each of the groups of people or figures inside of this millennial reign. So let's talk number one. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? What will He be doing? What is going to be going on with Him? Number one, He will be reigning. He will be reigning. He will at long last sit upon the throne of David. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We often read this as a Christmas verse. Do you know it? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the what? Government shall be upon His shoulder. Now, did that take place when He came as a child? No, He did not extend a governmental rule. But His name shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to usher in and He will rule the world with power, with righteousness, with glory. There will be no more presidents. There will be no more kings. There will be no more prime ministers. There will be no more congresses or dictators. There will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will finally bring justice and holiness to the world. He will not rule falsely. He'll not rule inequitably. He'll rule with fairness, with justice, with holiness. The world will have never seen anything like this before. Even good rulers have a tendency to what? Be controlled by the lust for power, for wealth, for glory. Jesus, on the other hand, you know how He's going to rule? In perfect righteousness. No unfairness. Perfect justice. Won't that be amazing? You're not going to be able to impeach Jesus. They might try. They probably won't send it to the Senate, though. You know, who knows? Anyway, the millennial reign of Christ will be as close to a perfect existence as the world has ever known. The world hungers for this, don't they? They're looking for it in all the wrong places. They think man is going to be able to usher this in. And that's why the Antichrist, he's going to seem like he does. He's going to bring peace, but only temporary peace. And then great destruction and wrath. Number two, the Lord Jesus, He's going to reign, but number two, He's going to rule. The Bible says, if you go, you're in our text, go to chapter 19, look at verse 15. The Bible says, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. Now look at the next phrase. And He shall rule them with a what? Rod of iron. Jesus will be the shepherd. He will guide the whole entire population of the world. You ever watch those cop shows? bad boys, what you gonna do? You know? The criminals get caught by the police. I always laugh. I don't know, that show, I hadn't watched it in a long time. They used to always have the Pierce County Sheriff. Like, that's us! Anyway. And, boy, what a bunch of goofballs down there. Anyway. Up here we got it all figured out. But, you think, man, how many people get away with stuff? How many people are able to flaunt the law and to lie and to basically scoff at the law? I'll tell you this, those who refuse to bow to His rule, Jesus is going to deal with them. And it won't be where you can get away with it and might not get caught, you know. I'm telling you, talk about the long arm of the law. Hey, you ain't going to get rid of it. You ain't going to be able to escape. Jesus is going to rule and He'll deal with things swiftly and harshly. There won't be rebellion in that day. And that's the idea of that rod of iron. Number three, He'll receive. He's going to reign, He's going to rule, but He's going to receive. Who's He going to receive? You know, the Lord Jesus is viewed as some sort of goofball nowadays, isn't He? I was reading an article that Netflix produced some sort of TV show where Jesus is a sodomite, a queer. Now they mock Him. Now the uproar, I mean, happened, rightfully so. Right? You watch, I think it was one of these cartoons, adult cartoon shows, I don't remember which one it was, but I remember reading about it. The Family Guy or something, and they had Jesus as some sort of dope head. He's a comic character to most people today, right? They look at Jesus as some sort of fool who got himself killed. But I'll tell you, during the millennium, He's going to receive the glory that He deserves. As I preached this morning, and as they sang tonight, thank you for that special, bow the knee. Bow the knee. Either bow it now or bow it later, you're going to bow the knee. And Jesus will receive the glory that is due Him. Every person, every nation, every nationality will come and bow at His feet. They will worship the King of Kings. They will not. They try to curse His name. He'll deal with them. Perfect respect, perfect honor. What a day that will be. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, the Bible says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." The Bible says, "No man hath looked on God at any time and lived." This will be a time where we will be able to view the glory of God. It'll be seen across the whole world. So that's the Savior. Well, what about Satan? What's going to be happening with Satan? Well, number one, he's going to be jailed. Go to our text in chapter 20. I love the verse 2 is one of my favorite verses. How John, the language he uses to describe it. It's like, and he laid hold on the dragon. That old serpent. I like how he says that. Which is the devil. Okay, I think. And Satan. We got it. What's going to happen? And be bound what? 1,000 years. The enemy of God, Satan, the devil, he will not be able to hinder the work of God, tempt God's people, nor will he have the opportunity to work in the lives of the lost. Him and his minions, him and his devils, they will be bound for 1,000 years for the duration of the millennium. Now, today, Satan is the god of this world. He rules and reigns. That's why they mock the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they scoff about His coming, of His death on the cross. He has blinded the eyes of those who believe not. He spends all His time, all His power, Him and His devils, doing all that He can to hinder the work of God, to trip up the people of God, and to claim souls for hell. He's wicked. He's the evil enemy. But in that day, you know what? He's going to be out of the picture. Glory to God. You say, well, why? We'll talk about that in a minute. Number two, he will be judged. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus, at the end of 1,000 years, will loose Satan for a season, the Bible says. If you look in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. He's going to amass an army of incredible size, an innumerable army. He and his army will attempt to attack the throne of God, the city of God, where Jesus is reigning, and they will think that they can overthrow King Jesus. What happens though? Well, you see it there, right? Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. They burned up. And then what happens to the devil? Well, he is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the what? False prophet, the beast are. And he's, what's going to happen? Like you've been saying this for a couple of weeks, that the devil, he's not going to be down in, like, hell's not his little condo, you know, like his little kingdom. You know that, right? He wants you to think that. What's going to be happening to the devil for eternity? Right? And shall be, what? Tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, I think we got it. So remind him what his end is. Right? I'll tell you what your future is, devil. It's chapter 20, verse 10. You're going to be in hell with the rest of them. But what a blessing. And when he is finally cast into hell, that the universe, this world, will be free from his influence, from his wickedness. Just to know that he's going to burn is enough to shout. Get you excited. Isn't it amazing, though, that after 1,000 years of perfect rule, of peace, of righteousness, of justice, that Satan is still able to deceive so many. What's interesting is I think that Jesus is going to make very clear that it is even after being under the rule of the perfect Son of God, man still has a wicked heart. Seeks his own way, his own devices. That is the heart of a lost sinner. You know, no matter how good God is to someone, they are saved, until they are changed by the power of God, until they have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they are wicked to the core. I believe Jesus is going to prove in that 1,000 years the hardness and sinfulness of the heart of man. Think of all the ways that God has tried to reach man. In the age of innocence, how did that end? In Genesis chapter 3. In the age of perfection, God created a perfect environment. Created man to be perfect, but man did what? Man sinned. Willfully disobeyed. It ended with what? Disobedience. The age of conscience in chapter 5 through 6, where right before the coming of Noah, what happened? It ended with what? Universal corruption. Even after that, even after God destroyed the whole world and saved righteous Noah and his family, they went and they created families and they created of themselves nations, and then they gathered together one language and said, we're going to build a tower to reach unto God. We're going to get to God our own way. God ended that, didn't he? It ended with devil worship at the Tower of Babel. The age of promise. You see that ending with the people of God in bondage in Egypt. This is how man responds to God. The age of law. The rest of the Old Testament, how did it end? It ended with man killing the Lord Jesus Christ. The age of the church, what's going to happen there? Well, the age of the church is going to end with a worldwide apostasy. Everybody following after a lie. And then the age of tribulation, what's going to happen there? It's going to end with the battle of Armageddon. Then you have the age of the millennium. And what is it? What is? How does that end? They literally attempt to overthrow God. They literally try to impeach Jesus with an army. How does that end? Doesn't end out well for them. What, you say, well, Pastor, what's the point? The point is that the heart of man is wicked. And it's prone to evil, There's not one good thing about the heart of man. There's nothing good. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Not one. The only hope for man is what? Salvation. To have a changed heart, to be given a new heart. All right? Number three. You got the Savior, He's going to be reigning, ruling, and receiving. You got Satan, He's going to be jailed and judged. What about us? Right? That's what you've really been wanting to know. Where am I going to be, Pastor? Well, number one, we will also be reigning. Every person that has received the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are members of the church, will reign with Jesus in His kingdom. And you could read that in verse 4. The Bible says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." All right, so who is it sitting on those thrones? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Listen to this verse. The Bible says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us." Huh. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." In the book of Corinthians, Paul says, why do you go to the world for judgment, right? Believers were taking each other to the courts for matters that should have been handled within the church. He says, when we are going to reign over them. Understand your role in the kingdom of God. And you know what? Take heart. You will be mocked. You will be ridiculed. Your judgment will be skewed. You will be, right, looked at as an idiot down here right now. But there's coming a day when we're going to return with King Jesus in power and glory, and we will reign with Him on this earth. And in that day, we're going to be different than we are now. We've been through the judgment seat of Christ. We've been in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've been with Jesus when He took away control of this world from the devil and his armies. We will have shared in that victory, and we will share in His glory. And when we reign with Him, you and I, we will be in our glorified bodies. It won't be like now. We won't have these bodies of flesh that are frail and sickly and weak. We'll be glorified. We will reign with Him. Bible says that Abraham saw that day and was glad. Why? Because in that day, he saw Christ. We're free from sin, free from death, free from disease. Number two, and along with that, we will be resurrected. At the beginning of the millennium, all the Old Testament saints and all those who died with faith in Jesus during the tribulation will be raised from the dead. So there's really two resurrections. There's the rapture and resurrection of the saints from the New Testament church age. And then there's also a resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the saints who died during the tribulation. Now, I want to show you what I mean here. Go to chapter 20, verse 4. "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon his forehead. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. This is the, I went a little bit ahead. This is the day that Abraham saw, that Abraham looked for. They all died in faith, these Old Testament believers, looking for the day when the promised one would go to the cross, die for their sins, and they will love again. They will see Him again on that day. Everything they expected, everything that they hoped for. Number three, they'll be received. They'll be received. There will be those, a number of people who will come to the end of the tribulation period with faith in Jesus Christ. They will refuse the mark of the beast, and they will live until the end. There will be some Jews, there will be some Gentiles, but they will all enter the kingdom of Christ. Jesus will honor the faith of those who trusted Him. He'll receive them into His kingdom. But those who did not receive Christ, those that make it to the end of the tribulation, they'll be destroyed and will spend eternity in hell. It doesn't matter what age you get saved in. It's all of faith. Always of faith. Belief in God's Word. Let me give you the last next point. All right, so what? That's what happens to us. What about sinners, Pastor? What about the sinners during the millennium? Will there be sinners living on earth during the millennium? Yes. There will be millions, maybe billions born during that 1,000-year period. See, all the Jews and Gentiles who enter the millennium out of the tribulation, they will not be glorified. They will enter the millennium with flesh and blood, just like you and I are now. And those people, they'll be saved, but their offspring will be born, and you know what? They'll still be born with a lost, sinful nature. So the 1,000 years will be populated not just with the saints and their glorified bodies reigning with Christ, but the world will be populated by those who make it through the tribulation and have children, and their children will have children, and great nations will exist. And they will need to be saved too. So let's talk about them. Number one, there is a relationship to the Savior. Today, the lost person does not know Christ. But in that day, they will know Him. And they'll not know Him as a crucified Savior. They will know Him as King. They will not know Him as Savior unless they repent and receive Him by faith. Now, salvation will not change. It's by faith. In this relationship, here's a couple thoughts. Number one, they will be forced to worship correctly. Every person on the face of the earth will bow in worship before King Jesus. Everyone will lift up their voices in praise and singing to Him that sits on the throne. What a day that will be. But think about this. Imagine having to praise Him. Imagine having to worship Him and not love Him. Imagine having to worship outwardly and inwardly hate Him. That's what will happen on that day. There will be those. Today it happens. People put on a show of loving Jesus and worshiping Jesus, but inwardly there's anger and bitterness and hatred. Number two, they'll be forced to worship correctly. They'll be forced to walk correctly. You know, today lost people just do whatever they want, don't they? Live however they want, just do whatever their heart and lust desire. They don't care what the Lord has to say about things. There's no fear of God. But in that day, they're going to be forced to walk right. It'll be an interesting time, and it's hard for me to envision it, but so be it. There will be outward obedience, but no inward love. And they will need salvation just like they do today. But how will they respond to Satan? So there's a relationship toward the Savior. What about towards Satan? Just as the lost has always had an influence of Satan, now they will have that influence in the millennium. When the Bible says Satan is loosed from his prison, what will he do? Look at verse number 8. And shall go out to do what? To deceive the nations. They will listen to his lies. They will hear what he has to say. They will join him in their bid to conquer God. That inward hate, that inward bitterness, they've had to outwardly conform. They've had to outwardly worship. Satan will come along and say, I'll free you from that. We'll overthrow him. And they'll say, sign me up. Jesus is going to let it happen. Isn't it amazing that people who have never seen but God's blessings and God's goodness and God's holiness and God's blessings would rather fight Him than love Him? That is the heart of man. You know, it happens today, you're right. People eat God's food, they breathe God's air, they enjoy His goodness, yet they will not bow before Him, they will not receive Him into their lives, they'd rather have it their own way, they'd rather be what? Proud, as I preached this morning, and be at odds, in opposition to God. That's the heart of pride. That's the heart of pride. It'll destroy you. And in that day, it'll destroy them as well. They'll make light of the goodness of God, the blessings of God. They'll march straight into hell. But it is the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. So they'll be deceived. But number two, they'll be doomed. Satan's plan ain't going to work. It's going to fail. All those who followed him, they'll be destroyed, devoured by the fire of God out of heaven. Their bodies will burn. Their souls will go to hell. What a terrible doom awaits them. Let me give you this last point. We'll be done tonight. What about society? What's it going to be like? Well, I want to go very quickly. Number one, there will be peace. There will be no more war for 1,000 years. No war. The nations will be unified. There will be great economic prosperity. And I could give you all kinds of verses. Isaiah's got a bunch, chapter 2, verse 4, 9, 4 through 7, 32, 17 through 18. If you want them, I can give them to you later. Number two, there will be joy. Fullness of joy will be a trademark of the kingdom. Number three, holiness. This will be a theocracy, God rule, but it will be a holy kingdom. And holiness will be shown, it will be manifested through not just the king, but his subjects. The land will be holy, the people will be holy, the city will be holy, the entire world will be holy under the Lord. Number four, it'll be glorious. God's glory is going to be full on full display. Everywhere you turn, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see God for who He is. No mocking Him. How wonderful it'll be. Number five, there'll be comfort. Jesus will minister to every need. Every need brought before Him will be cared for. Won't that be a blessing? There will be number six, justice. There'll be perfect justice. No crooked judges, no crooked policemen, no false judgment or errors in judgment. Jesus will know perfectly how to deal with things. No misunderstandings on that day. Amen? Next, there will be full knowledge. Every subject of the king will possess fullness of knowledge. I believe there will be a great increase in the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost. Again, Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 41. Number eight, there will be instruction. How are we going to get this perfect knowledge? Who's going to teach us? King Jesus is going to teach us. That'll be wonderful, won't it? And you see that, Isaiah chapter 2, 29, 32, Jeremiah 3. Next, there'll be the removal of the curse. You know, during the fall of man, God placed a curse upon the earth. But during the millennium, the curse will be removed, will be lifted. And you know what? You'll see productivity like you've never seen it before. Weeds, no more weeds. Amen? You gardeners, no more weeds. No more pests. You'll still have your kids, but no more pests. All right? None of that. Even animals. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they like to use this in their stuff with the lion and the lamb and all that. That'll be the millennium kingdom. There will be no bloodshed like you see it today. Next, there will be the sickness removed. What's interesting is Jesus will be the healer. Sickness and death will vanish. That's why there will be billions, right? Because there will be no death for 1,000 years. Imagine how many people there are going to be. And that is found in Isaiah 33, Jeremiah 30. In Jeremiah 33, there will be a healing of the deformed. All deformity will be healed. Isaiah 29, Isaiah 35. There will be protection. There will be great preservation of life during the millennium. Isaiah 41, Isaiah 62, go on. There will be no oppression. Isn't this a blessing? You know, today, and I think a lot of it's virtue signaling, because I think the people who are crying racism the most are probably the most racist. But there will be no racism. There will be no social, political, religious oppression, racist oppression. Jesus will bring about that. Amen? Next, there will be no immaturity. In Isaiah 65, there seems that there will be no mental slowness or handicaps or dwarfism, and there will be great longevity of life. Next, there will be reproduction by living people. Those living saints, living with a fleshly body, will have children. The population of the earth will soar, but those who are born will still have a sin nature and need salvation. Quickly, there will be labor. Guess what? No laziness on that day. It'll be a perfect economic system. All needs will be provided for by man's labor under the direction of the king. It will be a fully industrialized world. Next, there's economic prosperity. What's going to happen is people will have more than they've ever needed. There will be an increase of light. I believe that night and day as we know it today will be different. And so you'll see an increase of productivity because of it. Next, there will be a unified language. Won't that be a blessing? We'll all speak one language. Amen. There'll be unified worship. There ain't going to be no Catholic Church, Presbyterian Church, Lutheran Church, Baptist Church. It'll just be one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. Next, there'll be God's presence. God is going to be present on the earth. He'll be recognized by man. There'll be fellowship with God. Fellowship like Adam and Eve had in the garden where they walked with God. That'll be amazing. I honestly can't think of how it'll be, but Ezekiel 37 talks about it, Zechariah chapter 2, Revelation 21 even. If you look at verse 3, since we're already there, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." It'll be like, you know what, you're going to wake up and say, "Hey, God." He'll be right there. Won't that be neat? Talk about prayer. Next, there'll be a fullness of the Spirit. God's Spirit will be, it will exist, will empower, will be present, will enable. Next, there will be an eternal nature during this millennial state. It's going to be an amazing time. I really look forward to it. Can I explain it all? No. But what a day that will be. And He's going to reign. It'll be a special time. It'll be a blessed time. But I hope you know if you're not saved today, that you're not waiting until it's too late. That you'll come to know Christ today. Christian, keep your chin up. Yeah, this is tough. You know what? Probably get tougher. But someday, it will be, as the song says, worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen? What a day that will be. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. What a privilege to teach it. Lord, I pray that You give me the grace to be able to give us the grace to be able to understand it fully, be able to apply it to our lives. Thank You for those that are here today. Thank You that we have the promise of Your return and Your reign. Lord, what a blessed hope we have. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that is without Christ, whether they've been in church 20 years or they're new to church, Lord, I pray that You would convict them, show them their need to know Christ. And I pray that, Father, today would be the day of their salvation. Be with those that heard the gospel message this morning. Continue to work in their hearts and lives. Bring them, Lord, give them yet another chance to come to the Savior. Bless us as we continue, Lord, as You give us this week. May we put You and honor You and put You first. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Anything before we go tonight? If you wanted those scriptures, I'll print them out. And if you want them, come see me. I can print out a couple of them. All right.
Remind you that you.